Illinois State Representative Jerry Costello II. First off, it's good to talk to you again, man. You been well?
Hey, Tom, it's great to talk to you. And yeah, I have been well. It was an interesting election season, and glad to have it behind us. And I'm looking forward to being in a deer stand tomorrow.
Okay, good for you is my first thought. And I'd like to mention how well I cook a tenderloin. If you'd like to, you get the tenderloin. I got something with some onions and some special spices and a little bit of butter. I'm whip up for you for a deer tenderloin. All right.
I might take you up on that.
I'm no Gordon Ramsay, but even if you've got a stick and some Lowry's seasoning salt and a fire, I can make that work too. So
you can do it, huh?
I can. It doesn't matter. It's one of my responsibilities at deer camp. So, hey, now here we go. Downstate, Illinois State reps. If it wasn't Republican, it became Republican, with the exception of you.
It's Tom. I'm I guess somewhat on an island now. You know, jokingly. But yeah, it no doubt there was, I would say, kind of a red wave in southern Illinois where, you know, obviously in northern Illinois there was a blue wave. And it's, you know, I, as you know, work very well across the aisle, look forward to working with my Republican counterparts that are coming in and those that are there. But, you know, having J.B. Pritzker as governor, a Democratic-controlled House, a Democratic-controlled Senate, it does trouble me a little bit, because having more voices in the room to fight for appropriations and things like that for Southern Illinois sure does help. And, you know, obviously the people that are coming into office from the deep south of Illinois are in a super minority party now.
Now, here's the thing. Maybe people say this is a semantics. You just used the term working across the aisle. And here's the thing, Congressman. I wonder whether, in fact, you're working across the aisle or you're already across the aisle. In many of the, you know, and I've kind of given you a hard time about this in the past. When I listen to you talk and I listen to your substance, I'm going, you're sure you're a Democrat? And now, because I've been thinking about this, right? No stranger to that name in your district, Costello, right? Very well-known Democratic name. While at the same time knowing that people downstate are going for the Republican side of the column. But when I listen to you talk about guns and fiscal matters, I don't hear a Democrat. I hear a Republican. And when you say working across the aisle, I'm not thinking so much that, you know, that there's that component to you and your stance is that you're already across the aisle and you're working back into the Democratic Party, and that might be an interesting way to look at it and to operate in the upcoming term.
Tom, I think that's a very valid point. As you know, the American Conservative Union ranked me the most conservative Democrat in either the House or the Senate in the state of Illinois. And I am very conservative. I'm pro-union, but pretty fiscally conservative, I would say. And actually, my voting record is ranked more conservative than probably half of the Republicans, you know, especially the ones that come from northern Illinois.
Well, and it's interesting you say I'm pro-union to say you're Democrat. My mom's voted Republican because if she didn't, granddad would roll over in the grave. One, I mean, that's her exact quote. But on the other hand, a union steward for 40 years. And people go, Republican union steward? Yeah, there are a lot of pro-union Republicans.
Yeah, you know, Tom, I, for lack of a better way of thinking of it, I kind of consider myself like a 1960s type Democrat.
Like John F. Kennedy.
Absolutely, and a lot of people don't understand how conservative he really was. Exactly. And that's, I'm very comfortable being who I am, regardless if it falls on the Democratic or Republican side of the aisle. I concentrate on doing what's best for Southern Illinois, and then also doing what I believe in. I'm not going to go against my moral or ethical values just to try to hold office.
Well, I
have what I think is right.
Jerry, I have the sneaking suspicion that's the way it's supposed to be.
Tom, that's an extremely good point, and it's unfortunate that we've gotten to the point in politics that we have. You know, to me, it seems like the 15% of the far left and the 15% of the far right get all of the media attention, you know, and they scare the holy heck out of everybody because of their extreme views. And about 60 to 70% of the people that are really in the middle, you know, they wonder who in the heck is representing them.
And I think that's one of the issues. I really do. But because we all define ourselves. I mean, we do this in our own heads. We define who we are. And you just talked about who you are. But here's the thing. When I think about this, so this is no stranger. I've said this on the air a couple of times over the last week or so. That, you know, you go, you're watching CNN, you're watching Fox, doesn't matter where you're watching, right? You're listening to ABC News and you hear Nancy Pelosi say something that just, you're just wow. And you hear Chuck Schumer and then you think, you know, boy, I sure would like to be able to vote against you. And then they realize when they get in, long before they get in the polling booth, yeah, you know, I can't get it, Schumer. I can't get it, Nancy Pelosi, but I can get it you because you've got a Democrat behind your name. And so I'm going to take them out on you.
And Tom, that's exactly what's happened. You know, if you, just to be straightforward, if you look at Natalie Phelps Finney, extremely conservative, I think represents the values of Southern Illinois. And it was more of a Mike Madigan angle than anything else. And so when you look at what happened there, and nothing against Patrick Windhorst in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, now you've got 73, maybe 74 Democrats in the House of Representatives. And, you know, like I said earlier, I don't have another voice in the supermajority caucus to help me try to moderate things and to dial things that are ultra liberal back. So it's they're interesting times. And as I've always told you, I'll do absolutely my best to represent Southern Illinois and do what I can to represent conservative and moderate values.
Legalized marijuana, recreational marijuana, to help balance the budget. Projected $700 million to $1 billion in income. I think that's a little optimistic. But, I mean, that you take this recreational marijuana item and you take a look at some of these, and we'll try to touch on some of these other Senate items, but you take a look at that and then expanding gambling. Where do you fall in the spectrum of support for those two items, Jerry?
So, Tom, you know, I've always been against it. And, you know, here's what I can tell you. If you look at the legalization of marijuana, you know, people, you know, would say, hey, marijuana is not a gateway drug. I was a police officer for 6.5 years. Number one, I would disagree with that. And it may not be physically a gateway drug, but from a social aspect, and when you look at, you know, kids that are involved in drugs, maybe in the 7th, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, a lot of them start with marijuana use. And definitely in urban areas, it's absolutely a gateway to drug dealing. So, it, you know.
People say it's a gateway drug. It is. Anybody doesn't say differently, I can speak from a certain level of authority here. It is a gateway drug. And it's interesting because you just picked up on something that I think is significant. I want to point it out. There's an emotional gateway drug, and we're not talking about physical necessity for additional drugs. And let me give you an example. If a health teacher in junior high or high school has a picture of Salvador Dali and melted clocks and all this running down the wall, and you see this when you smoke marijuana, and then when they smoke marijuana, that's not what happens. The student says, oh, well, what else are they lying about? Is that the same way when heroin, right? And see, there's an emotional, because you make your own equations. And we've told, look what the marijuana, you do not see clocks melting down the wall. And I think that the student goes, well, then maybe they're lying about this other stuff. I want to try it too.
Yeah, Tom, I mean, that's the aspect I look at. And like I said, from being a police officer, seeing things on, you know, on a street level is how, you know, people interact in, you know, the drug dealing community. It's absolutely, you know, something to where more and more people get involved in drugs because of marijuana use.
So, but we're apparently willing to become drug dealers to balance the budget. I mean, if you look at it in this other, more cynical way, I mean, you can say that.
Yeah, that's a scary way to think about it. Like I said, I've been opposed to it, and I will remain opposed to legalizing marijuana.
You know, it's interesting. You look at the Senate, you can see already people reacting to the last election and where they vote and how some people sticking around. But you've got these votes, and one that bothers me is Illinois does not, they did not vote over the veto on the Illinois multi-state voter registration polls, but I think that's an interesting vote nevertheless. Then you've got the veto vote on claims involving the Quincy VA, moving that to $100,000 to $2 million. And then you've got the Senate overriding these immigration issues here, too. They're voting to override this when it comes to immigration. And what was surprising when I read into this was where the immigration or the law enforcement agent is responsible for making sure these visas are done. I think it was either 60 or 90 days to accelerate this. And once again, I think the people who wait in line, who observe the law, you get in the back. Now, the people who are involved with breaking the law, we're going to accelerate your visa. And see, when you look inside this law, I start seeing some things that bother me.
And, Tom, the other thing is, look, how much more can we put on the backs of law enforcement? I mean, they're certainly not getting a lot more funding. And, I don't, where we're at with law enforcement in this country right now is really a scary place in my mind. And, we need to be supporting the people that protect our communities, protect our country. And, we just need to take a really hard look at the outlook and how police officers and firefighters, EMS in general, how they're all treated and looked at in our country.
You know, and that's interesting because I saw this meme on social media says, if you vote, if you're a Democrat and you're a law enforcement agent and you vote Democrat, it's like a chicken voting for Colonel Sanders. Because there has been this, and I think that came from the ICE issue, I think. When we do away with ICE, and while at the same time they're stopping child sex traffickers and picking up meth and all this, that law enforcement is an interesting item. Because in my hometown, Carterville, they approved a property tax increase solely for the purpose of police and fire pensions. Now, and people go, oh, come on now, right? Come on. But you have to look deeper. And I haven't got a chance to talk to the mayor in detail about this because the state has made a decision to push more of those pensions to the local level. And, right. And then you've got this new intercession law that if you do not make those payments, the tax returns, the tax is supposed to go back to your community. We intercept those, state of Illinois does, and put them in the pension for you. Too bad you don't have operating funds.
Yeah, Tom, I can tell you one thing that has worried me, and as I think you know, I've been against cost shifts in general. I think you're going to see more and more of this on different levels. And it's something that people need to be aware of because really it's a balance sheet situation and it's just, taking, one requirement off of state government and putting it on local governments and taxpayers are the ones who end up on the hook for it.
Yeah. Illinois State Representative Jerry Costello. Jerry, before I let you go today, the veto session, is there anything that you need to let us know about that's going on up there before I let you go today?
Tom, the only thing that I can tell you is if you look at what happened yesterday and a lot of the things that were being overridden and you look at the vote counts, there seems to be a little more cooperation across both sides of the aisle on working on some of these bills. So, one of the issues that I would tell you under the Rauner administration was the fact that there was so much divisiveness and polarity. And, knock on wood, I think everybody's coming into a new mental state of where we are in the state. And, I'm very happy to see a lot more dialogue right now than I've seen in a long time and people willing to work together on some of these issues.